Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, exploring how analytics technology can assist government agencies to meet mission. We turn now from providing analytics a proper context, highlighting its potential, as well as its very real benefits, to introducing you to a sort of case study, its technological application that is IBM's Watson. IBM's Watson is far more than a Jeopardy contestant or winner. It promises to be much more than a marketing gimmick or simply a fad. At first glance, answering questions for a game show seems far removed from the work that government does. But there are significant and promising parallels to government work. David Shepler from the IBM research team and Watson project manager joins us now. David, how did the Watson Jeopardy challenge come about? What's the history and genesis of this effort?
The genesis of the project really began back in Ken Jennings' run on Jeopardy. An IBM executive, a guy named Charles Lickle, who was the vice president overseeing this team that eventually built Deep QA or Watson. He was in a bar watching Ken Jennings run and thought, geez, I wonder if we could build a system that could kind of take on this task of playing the game of Jeopardy. In 2007, David Ferrucci stepped forward, the principal investigator of Deep QA, or the lead research scientist, formed a small team and began to tackle it. Probably a year or two thereafter, they recognized that the system was on a trajectory to be competitive, and we decided to approach Jeopardy seriously with the idea of potentially having a competition. So the system continued to be developed, tweaked, improved over a four-year period, and as of, last fall or so, we would say that the system really reached competitive level performance and was ready to take on, you know, a player of the caliber of Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter. So it really took about 4 years to get the system there. Over the last couple of years, we put it through a really extensive kind of real-world game testing regime. We invited in nearly 100 former Jeopardy contestants to take Watson on. Watson held its own and continued to improve over that time until ultimately we established kind of our final record of achievement as of last November, when we were able to beat Jeopardy Tournament of Champions semifinalists and finalists. We brought in about 40 of that caliber of player. We conducted 55 games, and Watson was able to win or place first in 71% of them. So we really consider that to be our formal record of achievement, you know, sort of the crowning accomplishment of the Jeopardy challenge task in Watson. Yeah, Watson was chosen because T.J. Watson is both the founder of the company, of IBM, as well as, obviously, the person who created IBM Research. So it made a lot of sense to take that Watson name and sort of the ultimate recognition and put that name on this technology or this character.
David, how did Watson actually work as a contestant in Jeopardy?
The question of how does Watson play the game of Jeopardy, you can break it down to sort of the various system components that exist in it, right? So we have the what we call the back end, the real deep QA engine, which is where the really important stuff is. And this is what actually performs the question-answer task. But there is a thing called the front end that does kind of a lot of these other things, that does the strategy, you know, clue selection, that speaks the answers to the clues, that does the wagering and so forth, and sends the signals out to try to buzz in and receive signals about whether the buzzer has been enabled. So we can really talk about this in terms of those two different things, the back end deep QA engine and this front end that sort of does all of the physical manifestation of the game, right? The front end is kind of a fun part of it. First, we have to have a visual presence as well as a speaking presence to stand up there and, quote-unquote, and act as a Jeopardy contestant. So we've built an avatar that you've seen on the show that is the IBM Smarter Planet logo with some animations on it that respond to different states of the game. It cheers when it gets something right. It kind of looks a little bit down when it misses a question. It looks left and right when the human contestants are answering questions and responds like a visualizer as it's speaking. You see the animations kind of jump around like what you would often see with kind of representations of speech. We have a text-to-speech engine that translates the text of the answers into the voice of Watson. the strategy component, which also sits in the front end, decides all the kind of important game playing moves, decides what categories and clues to go after, decides if it wants to try to hunt down a daily double, for example, decides what it wants to wager when it does find the daily double, and in Final Jeopardy, and that's obviously a really important piece of this. So it does all that kind of stuff. And the other important piece is sort of what we call Watson's hand or Watson's finger. For a while in the early days, Watson would buzz in electronically, would send a signal to the Jeopardy game control system that said, I want to answer this question. There was a lot of discussion about that. Does that give Watson an unfair advantage and so forth? So we decided to just kind of set that whole discussion aside and create a physical buzzer, a solenoid that would sit on the exact same buzzer or signaling device that the humans use. So you'll see this. I'm sure you've seen it in the game already, perhaps.
I understand the analytics technology underpinning Watson can deliver information efficiently and, more importantly, in everyday terms. This makes it easier for government agencies to find critical knowledge buried in huge volumes of natural language content that they grapple with each day. Would you tell us more about the underlying technology, the deep QA, that is Watson?
Deep QA is a bundle of deep analytics that this team has developed. It applies the latest advances in natural language processing, machine learning, knowledge representation and reasoning. All these terms are ones often used in the kind of computer science discipline. But there are a whole bunch of very advanced algorithms in these areas that, when wrapped together, can provide extraordinary accuracy and understanding of confidence on the part of the system to produce natural language answers in response to a natural language question or query. The way that the deep QA architecture functions is it receives as input the clue, the Jeopardy clue, and the associated category. It then decomposes that or parses it into to begin to understand the language, to identify ultimately the type of thing that is being asked for, to understand the subject and the predicate, the modifiers, all that kind of language stuff. Then it goes out and, using some shallow search techniques, casts the net very wide and looks for hundreds of potential candidate answers that might satisfy that clue and are of that type. With each of those candidates, it then explores in parallel, and this is a really important point. The architecture is built to operate in a massively parallel way, to take these hundreds of candidate answers and go explore the evidence, looking for evidence that supports each hypothesis or candidate answer and evidence that perhaps rejects that particular hypothesis or answer. So it employs all sorts of advanced, cutting-edge, state-of-the-art algorithms and natural language processing and other techniques to begin to assess each of those candidate answers. Then, using machine learning techniques, it then combines all of the results, all the evidence, all the candidates, and ultimately merges it into a ranked list of candidate answers with associated confidences. And, of course, Watson will always answer with its most confident answer. So that's, in a nutshell, how it works and employs natural language processing, algorithms, machine learning, search, etc. And it's important to recognize that all of that is done in typically 3 seconds or even less, because in order for Watson to compete at Jeopardy, it's got to be able to produce answers in that time frame if it's going to have a chance to outbuzz its human competitors. In order to be able to achieve that massively parallel computation, and to do it in 3 seconds or better if possible, we had to employ a pretty advanced computer. The computer we chose was the IBM Power 750 or Power 7 system. We used 2,880 cores. That's roughly equivalent, although it's not really a true apples-to-apples comparison. You can roughly think of that as about using 6,000 kind of high-end desktop computers. So this is quite a hefty system. Now, it's important to recognize that this system is commercially available. It's not a customized system like Deep Blue was, tailored to the research task. This was built on commercially available IBM servers.
David, would you describe more broadly analytics in the Watson Deep QA context?
Analytics broadly is about trying to manage in a smart way the data of an organization, right? to more deeply understand that data. In this context, we're talking about how do you deal with and take advantage of a large body of natural language data. So we're not talking about structured databases necessarily. We're talking about content as you as a human might engage it, books and journals and magazines and emails and all sorts of things like that. How does an enterprise, how does an organization deal with the sort of data deluge? So in this case, we're talking about a specific kind of capability, text analytics, and to be able to manage that, to be able to find the content that is of interest to you in a very human way, in using natural language.
What possibilities does IBM's Watson DeepQA hold for public sector organizations? We'll explore this and so much more with David Scheffler from IBM Research when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.